Hi, my name is Nareeba Shepherd.
And I'm Justin Arnett Graham.
And this is Terms of Service.
Pew, pew, pew.
Listen, it's giving Barbie movie. I'm not going to explain it further.
Okay.
I'm just saying that.
Okay, so that's the vibe right
yes,
now?
Yes, of that intro just now, yes. It was giving Barbie movie.
Okay.
I'm not upset about it. I will not elaborate on it anymore.
Okay.
Sick.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I think that I'm starting to hit the Monday scaries, which is just like feeling crazy.
That's okay.
But I'm very excited for this part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
You know?
You mean like this episode specifically?
Yes.
And
well,
all
it's because
that
like I'm not
going to
act
entail.
Like we haven't been like talking about stuff before we sit down on the mic.
Yeah, well, I haven't been.
Well, that's because you went outside and I took
correct.
Advantage
yes,
of a situation.
True. True. Well, we're just going to go
I'm
ahead
excited
and
for more.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and revisit that. Go
okay.
Ahead. What are you staring at me for?
I don't know.
I was waiting for you to ask me how the hell I am.
Oh, I thought you were about to be like, I thought you were doing like a dramatic pause
no.
before you like.
No.
Said something sassy.
Yeah.
I misread that.
Yeah. Are you
well,
going to
bitch,
ask me how
I
am?
Now
okay.
I am. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm fine. Thank you so
Damn.
Much for asking. But yeah, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Staying out of trouble.
I mean, I feel like I got into a little bit of trouble just now trying to ask you to ask me how I'm doing.
Oh my God.
You
how
know?
Are you going to flip flop that on me and make it seem like I was the bad guy?
Because it's a bop.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
fair
fine.
Enough.
It's good.
Okay, so we have not talked about it yet, but Scandoval.
Okay.
How are you feeling about the Vanderpump Rules saga and Tom Sandoval giving an interview without the consent of Bravo?
You know what? I'm not going to get into that because
all day long, you're like, we're going to talk about
no,
stuff
I'm not
and ask
get
you
into
one
that
thing, and now you're like, Mer.
Because the only thing that I am focused on in regards to that entire situation is Ariana. And it's Team Ariana all day.
Sandwich shop, something about her.
Yeah,
yes.
it's all of that. That's really the only person that I care about. And yeah,
I'm just
I don't
ready
care,
to
but
be
I,
petty overall.
Yeah, I don't
guess.
Care about a dumb, horrible, horrible interview on a podcast with a celebrity. No.
Now that was mean.
No, not to you.
I know.
I'm just saying in general, like what you're referencing.
Yes.
I'm just like, you know what? They can keep it.
Oh, it's taking up so much of my Instagram now that I feel like I'll never return from this.
Well,
it's just, I liked too many things. I sent too many memes. And now it's just like only Vanderpump Rules. And that makes me sad, but also it's feeding into my content curation for the two separate group chats I have about this.
Great.
So yeah, that's
right.
How I'm doing.
Okay. Good. Very happy
but,
to hear it.
Like, should we like talk to our guests now?
Yes. Yes, we should.
Okay.
We should express how excited and happy we are to welcome our guest here. How are you, my friends? Oh, you both can speak at the same time. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, let him go.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
we're good.
Yeah,
no, we're
like,
excellent. We're
okay.
excellent. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to sit down with us and buckle in for this roller coaster of a conversation.
It's gonna get
it's
weird.
It's gonna be a good time. Absolutely.
I'm wearing my seatbelt.
Sick.
You know what? I was just like, that is a that's a wonderful answer. So
a little bit of self-introduction.
Yeah, because I can never do it justice, and I think
yeah.
you both are absolutely amazing. So,
and you've also been yourselves your entire life. So,
true.
This is also very true.
You have the most information.
Yes.
We love being us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? No one does it better. No one does it better.
And who are we, Michael?
So, we're Wild Edible World podcast.
Love that.
We love to talk about the wild plants, mushrooms, and other. Sometimes we're trying to get in some like fish content and stuff, like some invasive species too. Try to prioritize that a little bit, but we love teaching people how to go and find their own food.
I fucks with that.
I love that. Okay.
So yeah, there's two of us. I'm Michael.
I'm Steve.
Love that.
Welcome, guys.
Yes.
Thanks.
Welcome so very much.
I'm very excited to ask a lot of questions because I have super limited experience foraging.
I'm excited to learn.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
yeah.
Whoa. This
is... And, you know, I think that people are getting more and more interested in it as foraging is starting to, like, make its way into the internet, which means that everyone can find out about it. Crazy when I think about it, but
How do you think they found out about us?
I know, the fucking internet, man. It's I was just talking to someone about how millennials and Gen Z view the internet differently because, like, we were there for, like, the beta version of the internet.
Mm-hmm. The dial-up.
Yeah. And, yeah. Like, they came
in. I used to stack those free AOL, like,
yeah.
CD.
And we were out here playing games on the internet and ASLing. And we walked
ASLing?
So they could
oh
run.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think there was hope, too, for the internet, too, that it could have been some sort of great bridge of information mm-hmm. between everybody. And
right.
I think... you know, the generation after us has realized the cesspool that it can
yes.
be as well. You
and
know?
But like yeah. they also know how to find things on the internet that I could never find.
For sure.
Like the information that they access, I'm like, I personally have never been on Reddit. And I feel like I could learn so
what?
Much from. I know.
No, I
don't
I
know
honestly
how to
have
internet.
An idea.
Oh,
I,
wow.
Like, right.
Not on purpose.
Yeah. I follow,
Reddit
like,
is the internet.
I follow like Instagram accounts that are like from Reddit, and so I get like snippets of it. But when I look at someone like on Reddit, I'm like, how the fuck do you know how to do that? It seems like it's not for me.
Do you know what kind of blew up Reddit
what?
Very recently?
What?
Scandival. They were talking about that shit left and right all over Reddit. They were just like, this is that, this is bullshit. And I was like, you know what? I didn't think that y'all cared.
I've never heard that word before 2 minutes ago.
Okay, well. Well, we're on different parts of Reddit.
You could live your entire life without understanding anything that we have to say about Vanderpump.
Did you know what Sandoval was, Steve?
I have
Scandival?
No idea. Scandival. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Before you leave, I have a video that
oh my
completely...
Gosh. Oh
no,
my
that
gosh.
Completely...
Yeah, it's a,
like,
it's a flow chart. I can
yeah.
guarantee you it's a flow chart of like all of the shit.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's like two dudes who knew nothing about it, and then one deeply researched it and explains it to like... a regular dude, and he's like, oh, I get this. He's like, I've been hearing about it, but I didn't care because it was like not any brown people, but like this random white bro took his time to do the chart, and this person of color gave a shit. It was great. Yeah.
I love that.
See, we're able to learn from each other right now.
Exactly.
I'm learning something
yeah,
from you guys.
See, you know, I would just...
You can
you
throw
know,
it all out the window.
Yeah,
too.
I was just like, that one can just go like straight into the damn
it
dumpster.
It makes no
you know?
Sense.
Oh, but.
But we're here.
Yes.
Wait, did you ever
yes,
watch Friends?
No.
Then never mind. The other explanation I have is for that demographic of people. So don't worry about it. Friends is meh.
Yeah.
Kind of interested.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
okay,
someone
well,
explained
yeah,
it
yep,
as
ahead,
like,
yep.
if. Chandler and Monica. It's like if Chandler cheated on Monica with Rachel, but Joey knew the whole time.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense. And that makes me so angry.
Like,
like so
if
angry.
People watch Friends and you explain it that way, they're like, oh, like I get it. So yeah, I'll show you the three. It's not even 3 minutes. It's like less than a minute.
And if they all worked in a restaurant, like it's just
that
yeah.
was the first
yeah.
intro.
Oh, okay.
They
yeah.
work it's front of house at a restaurant, but none of them really do that anymore.
Yes.
Except for Rachel. Moving on.
Yes. So yeah, well, with that, thank you and hello and welcome again.
To the Friends podcast.
Yes, right. Right.
Scandival.
Yes. And, oh my God.
Thank
gosh.
You.
Yes.
Look at that learning.
So,
with that being said, what's your sign?
I'm Sagittarius.
Splatabarius. I'm a Taurus.
Oh, your birthday's coming up.
Sure is. May yeah. the 5th May or 4th.
Oh, I was,
I was like, Cinco de Mayo.
Messed up my own birthday.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
I might have to see proof. You just messed that up.
I was like, I don't know.
Driver's license. Social Security
nope.
card.
May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th.
Which
I
is kind of like
it.
A newer thing, but
yeah.
Yeah.
We know someone that got married on May 4th. Ryan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan and his wife.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, we're going to have to go ahead and cut down that extended pause there. Because I was like, who the hell are you talking about? Hi, Ryan.
It's a wonderful day to do things on. Get born, get married.
Sure.
You know, top to bottom.
Get born, yeah. Get married.
Yeah, it happened to me. I didn't ask for it.
I mean, you know, this is fair.
I feel like it makes sense.
Because this is our episode tradition.
Yeah,
so.
That like y'all would be people that would do this and do this together.
A Sagittarius, Taurus and a Sagittarius?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you dip into that
so,
a little bit?
Yeah, I have no idea.
For me, Sagges are people who are like very focused in on things that they like about, and they could talk forever about the things that they like about. But, and they're interested in what you have to say, but I feel like it's a toddler moment where you're like, as soon as the other person stops talking, you bring it back to something that you can talk about. I do that a lot. I have a Sagittarius moon, but I also think that they're like some of the most like ready to go do anything people. Traveling is usually a big thing that they're into. I think it's mostly about the like new discovery aspect of things. I don't know. I love a good Sag. My nephew is 18 months younger than me, and he calls me auntie, and it makes me feel fucking crazy. But he's like someone that has taught me so much about doing things that make you feel passionate. I'm trying to adopt that trait, but it's hard. So that's like my stance on the Sag aspect of things.
On, I think.
Tauruses. Oh, some yeah. of my favorite. Oh. Some of my favorite people are indeed Tauruses. My best friends, Mike and Julia. And very logic-based people will tell you the, I was gonna say truth, it is a truth, but I think it's more like honesty. Like if you want someone to tell you exactly what they think and how they feel, a Taurus is good for that. Also, loves luxury, naps, snacky snacks.
Got me there.
Yeah.
And like,
I was like, is this tracking for you, man?
Oh, absolutely. Snacky snacks and nappy naps.
Yeah. Lounging and luxury is used to describe Tauruses frequently.
I'm the biggest lounger.
It's, you know, it's a mood.
Lean on everything.
I love that.
Never fully supporting my own body unless I'm like walking through the woods. Yeah.
It's like also some sort of like a torture matrix, I feel like, is built into the minds of Tauruses, but it's like it turned within.
Torture matrix.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Like for you, you're like, oh man, I could do these things that make me feel good, but sometimes I like to lean into my sadness.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So you like do a bunch of stuff so that you don't lean into the sadness, but when it happens, it's a commitment.
If I know better, yeah. Usually, yeah. I'm working on it.
Listen.
But you got me. You got me there again.
So yeah. That's my little thing that I like to do sometimes from time to time at the beginning of every episode. But okay. Yeah.
It's like a nice little icebreaker to see like.
And then, you know, I use my Bachelor's of Science in Education to analyze the conversation after that.
Also very true. So, yes. So, my friends, as we are going to get into this lovely conversation, can you talk to us a bit about your respective backgrounds and how you have come together to do the wonderful things that you're doing that we're going to talk extensively about?
Sure. I mean, do we want to start like how we got together for the show or like just kind of our general general backgrounds.
Like who are you?
Who am I? So I grew up in rural Illinois, okay. Farmville, USA, corn one year, soy the other. And, you know, it's a lot of lacking for natural opportunities. So, when I was around 20 years old, my whole family kind of moved up to the Chicago area for one reason or another. And I'm here too now, have been for about a decade.
And same.
Yeah. And just thank you. I feel so welcome. And it's honestly the transition from the central part of the state and moving upwards to the northern part of the state has completely given me a 180 on my perspective about this state in general. I've gone from a hater to a lover, man. I love the Great Lakes region. I love Chicago as a city. I think it's one of the best cities in the world. And I think the suburban area is one of the most lush and green suburban areas that in as far as large cities like Chicago are concerned. And just the accessibility and connectability from every city to, you know, you're always 5 or 10 minutes drive from a forest preserve. And that's what matters to me now.
Yeah.
That was like a serious Chicago hype moment.
That was good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Dude, I fuck with Chicago.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's so awesome.
All you got to do is take that moment and put the mustard on and you're set.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But do you like it boiled or broiled?
I'd say broiled. I like a little char.
Yeah. Char dog it is. Char dog.
I'll take it any way I can get it.
All right.
My man.
He said it.
My man.
Love it.
All right. So, and when we moved up here, you know, obviously there was the eye-opening moment of, like I said, how lush it is up here. And it just kind of, you get curious, and I'm a very curious person. Maybe that's a tourist thing. You know, I think the same reason that a lot of people are becoming interested in foraging and finding your own food, and also the affordability of that.
Right.
You know, I was feeling that same thing a couple of years ago or several years ago, and just feeling a little less food secure. So I really leaned into it, wanted to find that niche for myself. There's that Japanese concept called the ikigai, it's a part of what can provide for your community, what provides emotional sustenance for yourself, and also provides, I believe it's like money, but you know, I find a secret third thing, and that's your ikigai. And I feel like foraging and teaching people about wild plants is the way that I can provide the community, provide a living for myself, hopefully, eventually, working on it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I love as well. So, you know, putting love into what you do is a huge thing. I'm sure you guys have talked about it on the show before. Like, love changes what we do, be it in a magical way or in a realistic scientific way, you know. And for the love for foraging has changed my life. And I wanted to bring somebody else that I had known that had been doing a lot of foraging, and that we had talked many, many times about finding new plants and where can we go, and like just somebody else who's excited about it as me. And that's when I brought it, making this show with Steve. And
and we already talked about your love for snacks.
And we already talked about my love for snacks. Yeah. And this just brings the whole world together, baby. Yeah, yeah. I get to talk about stuffing it in my mouth. you know, it's just all delicious. Innuendos?
I'm here for them.
So it's kind of a funny story, because Michael and I have a similar background in how we started foraging, basically finding ourselves outside at a young age, but by totally different avenues. So Michael grew up in rural. I grew up in Joliet, born and raised in the burbs. And we just, I mean, my family was pretty poor growing up. So, you know, get your ass out of the house. Go do something.
Yeah.
You find yourself in the woods, things like that. So, I mean, that just kind of tied everything together as far as, you know, that beginning background in the woods, and then learning how you can take those things and make them special, and make them taking having nothing
and making it into
making something.
Yeah,
out of it.
Yeah, you know,
for sure.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. That's kind of how we ended up there.
See, I was the kid that went outside in the yard, and like growing up in Trinidad, we had like all these like actual fruiting trees plants around, but I would like smash them into the ground and pretend that I was making food with them, and then like make my nephew eat it when my mom was like, don't do that. But I never thought of it as like something that I actually would like take inside and eat, even though I know that's like what we did. My mom tried to grow a fucking, I don't know what it's called. In Trinidad, we call it petit gal. It's a peely clementines. Thing.
Yeah.
She tried to grow one of those, and for years, it like never produced anything. And then all of a sudden, it started like growing shit from it. And it was just like, they never ripened, but my mom was so proud of it. She would put them in my lunchbox. And I would just throw it out in school because it was like dry and like sour. And it wasn't good. Maybe now as an adult, I'll be like, this has some sort of like chef-y take that I could do. But when you're seven, you just want a snack. No snack. So it's like the opposite. Like, I wasn't aware of like foraging as a thing until I lived in the States. Because I feel like in Trinidad, everything was like so much more accessible because you like grow it in your yard. Whereas in America, there's not as much of that in like people's personal gardens.
You mean in capitalistic America?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it. I have a green card. I don't have they're listening to me.
Okay.
They're not listening to you.
So then for those people that don't know, which there's nothing wrong with it, exactly what is foraging?
So foraging is the act of going out and procuring your own food. Food or, honestly, supplies. You know, I like to think of gathering fibers, you know, dead grasses to weave into baskets and stuff. You know, that's its whole process, but that's foraging. Dumpster diving. Guess what? That's foraging. You know?
That's like urban foraging.
That's urban foraging. Going out to a forest or your yard and collecting dandelions, that's foraging. Going to a national forest and harvesting morels and giant mushrooms or other plants, that's foraging. Catching fish, in my opinion, is also kind of foraging, although that borderlines on hunting. But there are some, I guess not catching fish, I'm kind of generalizing, but like I like to think of it harvesting with your hands.
Okay.
Or very, you know, some tool, there's tool adjacent stuff, but I think it's very tactile and hand involved as well.
I've caught a fish with my hands before.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's
saying.
Really? That's badass.
Yes. Joliet.
Yeah.
What are they? What is noodling? You noodled?
Noodled. Yeah,
I was like, oh my God. I was like, don't let a fish touch his hands.
No. I'm 50-50 into the idea of noodling.
Yes.
But I also, the idea of like sticking my hand into the unknown.
Yeah.
What if it's not a catfish?
Yeah.
That's the part that scares me.
I guess part of that is like knowing how bad it could be. So I've had those thoughts too. But then you just like do the Google and you say like, okay, what's the most dangerous fish in Midwest rivers or whatever? And there really isn't one. You know, you can maybe catch some spines from a bluegill or a bass or something. Sure. But for the most part, they're not really, they're avoiding you as well. So noodling is kind of like, you know, you're not necessarily like reaching into the depth, just kind of letting the environment acclimate around you.
Okay.
A little bit.
I definitely didn't noodle, for the record.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I stuck my hand in the water and grabbed a fish like a bear. Like a bear. Yeah.
Absolutely. What do I know?
Yeah.
What do I know?
I just didn't want people to come to me for noodling advice.
Okay.
And then I don't know what the hell to tell them about sticking my hand in an abyss or anything. Like, I don't know.
Don't come to me for advice for noodling either, because I've handled less fish than Steve. So.
Yeah, and I've handled
zero.
I don't fish, but I could break down your fish for you.
There we go.
Yeah. You know,
I like it.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. I mean,
that is an absolute skill.
Absolutely.
The idea of putting my hand in whatever unknown, the number one thing that I will always think about is how I'm deathly afraid of snakes.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Like, I don't care if it's like, oh, just fire up the Google machine and the most dangerous snake in the Midwest is a garter snake, you will not see me there. Okay. Like, No.
I don't fuck with snakes because they don't have the part of their brain that forms like loving attachments.
They can't love you.
Recognize you and be familiar with you, but they don't have that like love situation. So I'm into like lizards because they could do that.
See, I did not know that, but also
I learned that from Crystal's partner, Maggie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But also, I just feel as if there are certain animals that when you're in their home,
yeah,
maybe you should have knocked first.
Oh, yeah, okay? Yeah. 100%.
I don't think that you should just show up there, because if they decide that they're gonna like go over your feet, like when I was like 11 and turned into like fucking Flojo when this like garter snake went over my shoes in like northern Illinois. Yeah, I don't even think I ever saw that friend that I visited that house ever again.
Oh my God.
Seriously. No, like it's that bad. And also, random tangent, my mom is from Arkansas. So like deep south, Helena, Arkansas, the town that time forgot. If anyone happens to be listening to this in Helena, Arkansas, you can do better.
Oh my
you
God.
You can do better because there's not much going on down there. And the firefighters currently, God willing, they were strong young men when my mother was a little girl.
Oh
so
my God.
So when we would go and visit, they were very old men that also were just like, hey, Dolores, how have you been? And she's like, wow, there's still... I was like, yeah, this is the town that time forgot, okay? And so when she was younger, she's like out in the bayous with her brothers, and she ends up getting bit by like this like fat black snake, and they like stomped that snake out. Damn and right. My mom has been traumatized her entire life. You can't like... There can't be a snake on TV. You can't talk about a snake. Nothing. So naturally, growing up, I thought they were the coolest things ever.
Oh
so
my
I did
God.
Like I did like research papers on them. I had like books on them, and I was like, oh my God, these are amazing. I know so much about snakes. It has turned into a phobia. Okay.
That's incredible. It went all the way back around.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like the. Do you know what the biggest snake in the world is?
No.
I don't.
Okay, it's a reticulated python.
Never
okay?
would have said that.
Yes, most people would not, because you would assume that it's an anaconda. But no, it's a reticulated python, and the largest on record at, you know, up until the point where I stopped, paying attention, was 36 feet.
Incredible.
And also, do you know how they search for anacondas? In the Amazon?
No.
They wade into the river. They just wade and then thump, and then they all reach down and pick it up.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Yeah.
No,
so
thanks.
So the idea of putting my hand or whatever anywhere, no. It's not, no. But I digress from that. Because
I just discovered I have a new phobia.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, but it is what it is.
And I was going to tell you about the time my brothers used to throw a fake snake at my sister all the time.
No.
She got so desensitized to it that one day when she walked out of the house in Trinidad and a real snake fell on her, she was shaking the shit out of it, yelling at my brothers, and then realized that it was a real snake and promptly threw it on the ground and ran away screaming.
So that is me about to pass out just listening to that. I had a neighbor, and this is going to wrap up this whole snake situation.
This is what happens!
Yeah, I know, but I had a neighbor that found it hysterical that my mom was terrified of snakes. And he had, like, a plastic snake that he, like rubber snake he put underneath, like, a wagon in the garage. I thought my mom was going to sell the house that day.
Oh, my God.
Because the way, and also she has never spoken to that man to this day.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, absolutely not. Like, if she was gonna have a heart attack, that would have been the day.
Fuck his couch.
Yeah. Yes, it was awful.
Okay, so foraging.
Yes, right back to nature. Let's get back into nature.
Now that I've had a little bit of time to think about, I want to refine my answer about what foraging is a little bit and give you a new overview that it's correctly identifying, it's finding, correctly identifying, and harvesting useful or edible plants and mushrooms.
Okay. Awesome.
That's good.
Just wraps it up in a little bow.
Very nice. Well,
also dumpster diving.
Yes.
I mean, that
totally legit.
Tracks. But so I would just like to acknowledge these wonderful spirit-free beverages that we have been enjoying.
I just chomped that cherry.
Very well said. Shout out to Cheyenne, Cheyenne English, aka Miss Perfect Pour, for this Walk the Plank, which is featuring Ritual Zero Proof Rum Alternative, Cold Brew, Pineapple, and Cherry Bitters.
Yo.
This is so good.
Yes. Super yum.
Yes.
I just did the cherry thing and took a sip. Delightful.
Yes.
You're not going to say chomp the cherry too? What, sorry. Is it weird?
You know,
chomp is just not like a thing that I say.
Not in your vernacular.
No, it's not in there.
I mean, I had a nice sip of this. I love how much everyone is enjoying it. Coffee's not for me.
Fair enough.
But this is lovely.
So good.
Absolutely fantastic.
You gonna eat that cherry?
Nope.
Gimme.
Okay. Oh. No worries there.
You snooze, you lose.
Yes, no. No worries.
Yeah, what a loss.
I know. I mean,
not into cherries too, or is it just because it touched coffee?
Oh, it's because it touched coffee.
Damn
yes.
it.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's
it
literally.
It fell in.
Oh, we'll see. Everything's gonna be just
fine.
I'm
gonna have to drink this one too.
So.
Merp.
I'm interested to see like how is this work motivational for you both? Like, I understand that it's education based, mm-hmm. but then it's just like, what other elements of it like motivate you to keep doing it and like, you know, really investing your time, expertise, so on and so forth?
So, I mean, flavor.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's
definitely a big portion of it.
It's fun as hell. You know, it's combining all the things. Again, it's just like trying to find all the things personally that I love, which is like going on walks outside, having yummy snacks, and mm-hmm. then like, well, all of those can happen at once. So right. I'm very food motivated. So just the opportunity to find flavors that you can't buy.
That is another Taurus fact. Heavily food motivated.
Oh, Taurus fact.
Yeah.
But yeah, being able to just go out there and find new flavors that you can't get in the store, you can't get at a restaurant usually, and then being able to harness them for myself. What about you, Steve?
For me, my mother's one of 13.
God. My mom is 7 out of 15.
Cranking them out, right?
Yes.
So we are no strangers in my family to sharing, and this includes like knowledge. So when you find these delicious, nutritious mm-hmm. ingredients, showing other people and teaching other people how to find them and how they too can benefit from this, it's a win-win, you know, for everyone. So
it's interesting on my end, because we had an episode back in season one to where we talked a lot about like grocery stores, because we were sitting down with, I believe, Angela Diaz, and we were really focused on, you know, her business model, which at the time was focused on, you know, CPG, so consumer packaged goods. And it's fascinating to hear about like flavors and like flavor profiles that you can't buy. Like, that seems wild to me.
Oh, exactly.
Like, yeah. And but like, I see what you. Yes. Yeah. So like what?
Like what?
Yeah.
Well,
are there any examples that I could reference, or it's just you have to experience it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's stuff that a lot of people know, and this isn't necessarily the best leading example, but like Morels, you know,
I would
never experience Morels if I had to pay for them. Let me just say that. Like, I will not pay for Morels, and I would not have paid for Morels.
I feel like ramps are like that too.
Yeah. But
by
also
the pound, like the amount of like, I guess maybe I'm a little spoiled because I have a little bit like what we're able to harvest whenever you go out there and you find it yourself. The amount that you'd have to pay for and what you the amount of money you pay for and what you get from that is not satisfying to me.
Yeah.
I never would have tried Morels if I didn't work in restaurants.
Same.
Sure.
I would have never known about them.
Yeah.
And I would say that for the vast majority of people, most people, when they think of mushrooms, they think of, you know, your normal button mushroom that you find at the grocery store, mm-hmm. pre-sliced, probably pulled, you know, weeks ago and you know, just packaged and shipped and whatnot. And if you've never had hen of the woods sliced and
yes.
sauteed in butter,
yes.
a little bit of salt and pepper, mm-hmm. and you've never had a mushroom.
Oh, my God.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah. 110%. Fucking hen of the woods.
Mm. Exactly, one of the best mushrooms out there.
Yeah.
So other things that you can find that you wouldn't be able to get in the grocery store are things like spice bush. So it's called Appalachian Allspice, and they're these red berries packed with fat. But with that fat comes like aromatic absorbent properties. So basically it's its own little spice bomb that is like, I mean, it's called Appalachian Allspice. It's got like heavy citrusy flavors. It almost kind of opens up your sinuses. It's got this like Szechuan almost numbing effect. It's this really, really awesome spice. I didn't put it in the persimmon jam that I brought with us today.
But, you got jam?
We got jam.
Yes,
so we brought some jam, and that's another thing that
you're
not going to find in stores.
Thank you.
Of course, of course. We're gonna taste it, and we'll see what you guys think about it. Yeah. And
snacky
in this jam,
snack.
I guess, is another example of a fruit you're never going to be able to find in stores, probably, because it has such a small window for comfortable consumption, I guess I should say. Hmm. So they need to be hyper ripe. Like super, super ripe, to the point where, like, you know, a banana would be basically turning to mush and falling apart. That's how you want an American persimmon to be. And they're smaller. They're about like easily 50% of my palm, the size of a
golf ball.
A golf ball. Yeah.
Okay.
And they, because of how well they or how unwell they age, I guess, it's not appealing for the American grocery consumer to have a bunch of squishy fruit sitting. I mean, and it can get really messy, because if it's not fully completely mushy ripe, it has this pretty strong astringency to it. And
okay.
It's not toxic, it's just unpalatable. But as soon as it fully converts all these sugars, it becomes the most delicious, sweet, incredible jammy.
It's like caramel.
Caramel,
so good.
And dates.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an incredible fruit. But you're not going to find it in stores, just like pawpaws. So pawpaw.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you started describing it, I was like, pawpaws have to be like that before.
Correct.
The whole thing. Also, I was very confused the first time I heard that we were bringing pawpaws into the restaurant, because that's what we call papayas in Trinidad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? This, and it also looks like a mango, but a bean mango on the outside.
Yeah.
And then you open it up and it's like weird custard banana pineapple filling. I don't
exactly.
That's
it's
how I like to think about
weird.
It, like a banana and a mango.
Yeah.
And it does look like a legume on the outside.
Yeah.
And it is a relative of the mango. So you're absolutely on the right track for all
She's
that.
Weird.
Yeah. So yeah, the pawpaw, I love talking about pawpaw. That's North America's largest native tropical fruit.
Hmm.
And that's another one you're never really going to find in stores, probably because of its color. You know,
yeah.
Americans are very concerned about the visual quality of their foods.
Correct.
And so whenever you have overripe bananas, they tend to not sell unless you market them specifically for banana bread or something like that. And pawpaws are kind of the same thing, except they also come with the territory of most people not knowing what the hell they are in the first place.
Yeah.
So, and then on top of it, you have them, a brown mass on the shelf.
She's tall.
And, oh God, these cocktails look good.
Yes. Spirit free.
Spirit free.
Spirit free, my friend.
Spirit free cocktails.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mocktails.
Ooh. Yes. The Heckle and Jest is what we are enjoying now.
Oh, she's spicy.
Again, coming from Ritual Zero Proof, but with their whiskey alternative, finished with blood orange, ginger, and lemon juice.
Wow.
And
what's that rim?
Yeah. What is this on the rim?
Tagine?
Oh,
okay. Some habanero tagine. Okay. Tagine.
This is good as hell.
So
yeah,
good.
Damn it.
And this
very
is
fine.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
The flowers are a very nice touch.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yes. I'm like, wait.
God damn.
This is a nice kind of like green beany taste. Like, very fresh. Yummy.
So,
this is so damn good. God.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cheyenne.
Thank you.
So, one thing I want to touch upon is there, I don't want to say like the dangerous side of foraging, but there are like a multitude of ingredients that look like one another, but they aren't.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
And they can be poisonous. So how do you, I mean, I assume it's just through education and there's ways to tell them apart. But if you
happy
are,
snacking, don't die.
Yes.
I learned that from Black Forager.
Yes. Yes. Alexis rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's the best.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I met her and I word bombed.
That is correct.
For a long time. Justin was there.
Yes.
So nice. Yep. But also like.
Yes.
Word bomb.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I met her, I like shut down because it was like, well, I mean, she's so busy all the time. I don't want to. We're like, we're friends. We chat on Instagram. And it's like, I don't want to like. You're like, hey, this is what we're actually meeting. Like, everybody else is already like coming up to her, and so. But yeah, she's an awesome, awesome person, nicest person, as nice and as funny and cool as she seems online.
That's what I
Such
said.
Such a genuine person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lovely, lovely
Except
woman.
To her because I was word vomiting.
Good for you, though.
Yeah.
I wish I would have been more complimentary. Yeah.
You know, and I was like, it's very nice to meet you. That's I'm like, I know who the hell you are. I'm going to walk away now because you're amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But the don't die part. Yeah. Very important.
Yes.
Very important.
Don't die.
But the important thing to remember is that if plants looked that much alike, then they would be the same plant. You know, they're different plants and there are identifying characteristics. So it is about education, but it's also about building a relationship with your environment. So you want to build a relationship long term with the plants that you interact and you plan on seeing every single day or that you are interested in harvesting. So one thing I like to talk about a lot is taking tons of pictures. You know, you take pictures of every single plant. If you're curious about it, take a picture of it. Figure out what it is later.
Right.
See what it looks like a few months after that. Be damn sure that you got the right plant if it is in a dangerous family, such as the Apiaceae, like wild carrot, that can be mistaken for water hemlock, which is the most deadly plant in North America. That is
really
absolutely.
Is that the one with the white?
Yeah, I was like, what is that?
Flowers
flower.
On the top,
correct.
And one has like a dark purple flower in the middle as like a differentiation between the two, like you could if it's flowering and you can tell.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And that is kind of a smaller window of time than some of the other characteristics that can be used to identify. We don't have to necessarily go break down that plant right now.
Yeah.
But there are a variety of different qualities for that specific plant as well, including the flower, hairs on the stem, color on stem, lots of things. So it is something to be mindful about, but you can also get killed bowling. You can get killed, you know, doing all sorts of silly things.
Yeah.
So
we were bowling yesterday for her birthday.
That's kind of synchronistic. I don't know why I brought that up.
I was I was like, oh, look at that. Yep.
But I only kind of broke one nail, and it wasn't a long one, so it was a success. Because bowling with this is difficult.
And you got them things,
Yeah.
Yes.
But okay, so I was going to be like, you know, so when you're out there and you feel confident that you've identified something and you've spent the time doing it and you've checked all the boxes.
Sigh.
What's wrong, buddy?
Well, I just realized this mushroom supplement I bought isn't actually made with mushrooms. It's made with something called myceliated grain?
Myceliated grain?
Oh no!
I'm sorry to tell you, buddy, but myceliated grain is a sure sign of a poor quality mushroom supplement.
Well, dang. I wanted mushrooms, not brown rice. What should I do?
Well, you should support a small batch producer from right here in the Midwest, Keweenaw Apothecary.
Keweenaw Apothecary? Tell me more.
Keweenaw Apothecary specializes in high-quality mushroom extracts from Michigan, and they always use real mushrooms, never, never, never myceliated grain.
That sounds like exactly what I've been looking for. Where can I order?
Well, you can find them at keweenawapothecary.etsy.com. That's Keweenaw apothecary.etsy.com. Be sure to read their many excellent reviews.
Thanks, buddy. I don't want no low-quality mushroom products from a factory. I want Kiwino Apothecary.
Wowie, wow!
Can you snack on the go confidently? Like, if I see something, I'm like, what if it's like, I don't know. I panic. I'm scared.
If you're ever not sure, then,
don't eat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't eat it. I've only ever put things in my mouth that I am 100. I made that mistake once early in my career, and thankfully it wasn't like, you know, I'm not playing with that big of a fire.
Okay.
It was between Ramps and Lily of the Valley, mm-hmm. which can be kind of an easy beginner mistake to make. Thankfully, Lily of the Valley, not super toxic, mm-hmm. didn't swallow it, put it in my mouth. Like, I had been handling Ramps, so the smell was on my hands.
Yeah,
so I broke the leaf to check it and
smelled it.
I thought I smelled it. Mm-hmm. I've been handling garlic mustard or mm-hmm. wild onion. You know, there's a variety of different alliums or garlicky, oniony, smelly things in the woods.
Yeah.
And so I thought I had it, and then I tasted it, and it was like, this is definitely like bitter grass, and I spat it out. So beyond that, after that, I mean, that is a lesson, because then you start to freak, you know, like you said, I'm a paranoid person as well. You start to get kind of scared. You freak out. Is, you know, I feel, my throat's a little itchy. Does that mean it's about to start closing up, you know? Start right. furiously WebMDing or whatever. And, like,
right. And it's just like death.
Yeah, you're dead. You're already yeah. dead. How are you yeah. Googling this?
Yeah, right.
But no, after that, I can confidently say that I've never put anything in my mouth that I'm not 100% sure is edible. Mm-hmm. And then within that, there are still some caveats of whether your personal body is going to interact well with it, too. Because we all have different bodies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that you kind of encounter with pawpaws, even. It has one of the, like, there's a cilantro gene for pawpaw. Some people just think it tastes awful when it's cooked. I don't think it tastes awful. I think
I'm
it tastes freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But I do know some other foragers in the community that think it's terrible when it's cooked.
The good news about that is that there's never been a better time to start foraging than now.
Oh,
because
yeah.
you have the internet, you
oh
have
God.
All these reels and Instagram videos, and
just
there's so
in general.
Many different ways
yeah.
for you to double and triple check, like we always preach, triple ID your ingredient. But there's never been a better time than now. You know, check out these people that are dedicating their time and making it their livelihood to mm-hmm. to make this content. And I mean, it's just foraging mecca right now. Just
absolutely flourish. No, it's the prime time, because you do have the access to people who have been doing it without social media for their whole
yeah.
lives.
Mm-hmm.
People like Sam Thayer, who wrote some of the most impactful identification books, and he's up in Wisconsin for you. So for us Chicago folks, that's a huge freaking deal to have somebody, you know, a lot of these foraging guides and edible plant guides are made by people that are out on the West Coast
yeah.
or up in New York even. So mm-hmm. you get a lot of coastal activity. And really, whenever we talk about the history of North America going back to pre-colonial times, the Great Lakes area was where it was freaking at. Like, this was a huge population of and still is a huge population of indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of food that was and still is here, you know, is what sustained populations of humans for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
True.
The way I like to think about foraging, so you forage seasonally. So morels, you have a few weeks to find them at their best, and then they're gone. They disappear. So I'm a gardener in my personal life. The way I like to think about foraging is imagine the best, most nutrient dense ingredient grown by the best gardener that's Mother Nature out mm-hmm. in its, you know, mm-hmm. natural habitat. And so that's why you can find all these delicious things that are so unique, and so that's why they're like Ramps in the culinary world
yeah.
are so prized, is because there's nothing really like them. There's things that are similar, like green onions, but you can't.
Ramps are lit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
has like a heat to it. It's got yeah. a punch.
For sure.
It's different,
and yeah. you can use like every part of it,
yeah.
even down to like the roots. Dehydrate it, pulverize
sure.
it, ramp powder.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
So would you say that foraging is a part of agriculture? Because I have a follow-up question to that one.
It should be. It needs to be more part of it. Is it currently?
Can be. Sure.
Yeah.
Is it currently? I'd say no.
Okay.
I'd say agriculture as an engine and as a industry, I think foraging is antithetical to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't have to pay anybody for it.
Yeah.
Nobody has to grow it. You know, you don't need an entire warehouse full of chemicals to make sure it grows.
Yeah. Foraging
happens.
Is like forever. Because that's what we did initially. Agriculture came hundreds of years later.
And that's the...
And we've just forgotten about it.
Yeah.
That it's like
it's
part
been
of the...
It's
makeup.
Been a part of our lives far more than agriculture ever has.
Yeah.
And agriculture has done wonders for human civilization. And we're you know, the fact that we're able to have cities and recording equipment like this, you know, population density like that is somewhat due to agriculture, but
100
largely,
were cities, you know, and there are other types of agriculture that happened in history that did incorporate foraging and natural gathering and still fed massive cities with people.
Well,
and were less harmful and less impactful.
Yeah, because the reason why I asked is because trying to draw that line between people that would believe that, you know, foraging is a form of, let's say, like urban agriculture, right? Because last season, we sat down with Mecca Bay and Boyza Itaji of Sisters in the Village
100.
On the South Side, and their whole like call to action is to grow your own food, to be one with the earth, because just as Black women, that is how they felt a connection to their ancestry, right? And so I think it's very interesting on the foraging side of like being out in the wilderness, being able to identify things that, you know, have sustained us for centuries, right?
And the fact that Black and brown people made it known to like colonizers that this is like what the land has to offer.
Yes. So and
they
that's
rewrote
why
all of Pocahontas, but they got that right.
Right. But that is really the reason why I asked that question, because there is such a like a dichotomy there.
Sure.
Right? Because it's just like on one end it's just like it's foraging, which feels it feels very specific to a socioeconomic class, versus like growing your own food and like tethering the earth from another socioeconomic class. So I think people that are listening will be like, oh, like they are in tandem with one another, but it's two different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, foraging is kind of like, and I feel like I've referenced this before on the podcast, but
I like how you always say the podcast, like it's not your podcast.
Oh my God. I have a problem with ownership.
It's okay. Yes.
But so in college, I wrote a paper for my construction of whiteness class about how whiteness is sort of like nature. It's everywhere and like no one notices it because it's just like part of what it is. And I feel like foraging is sort of like in there like that, because technically, like urban settings have like disconnected from foraging. But if you grow up in a place where nature is around you, you're more inclined to like understand it.
Right.
So in part of the paper of like whiteness being like nature, the connection that white Americans have with nature is different from that of Black and brown folk. And I think that goes back to when laws were made to keep Black and brown folk out of like national land, which took away their gathering areas. And I think that foraging became disconnected to minority groups because of that. And now it's like, now that foraging is like becoming a thing again, and Black and brown folk who have a history with it, but don't talk about it because it's like the connection and the community with the land, you would never know that these are the people who started it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? That illegality was by design. That was a type of cultural genocide, and it was what's it called? Whenever you're bringing in these people and forcing them to be a part of a system that they're not a part of, that they are directly interfering with by procuring their own food.
I call that Christopher Columbusing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you come into a situation and you're like, I don't know what's been going on here before, but this is it.
But it's mine.
Yeah.
Well, and another thing,
you're about to get 1492'd.
Yeah, hard.
Part of agriculture too is this attitude of like, I don't know, a lot of what we're dealing with now in the case of invasive plants and invasive species is this European mindset that is like, well, I have no idea what all these plants are here, so let's just bring all the stuff that we already know from Europe over here so we can actually use something in this place.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, everybody else around them is like, what are these guys doing? And like getting in, like their mustard garlic is like encroaching on their ramp patches, and Europeans preferred mustard garlic or dandelions. I mean, dandelions have become a naturalized plant, but they are introduced from Europe in colonialism.
Really?
Back in the 1700s, we brought dandelions over as a medicine and food crop.
And honeybees as well.
Honeybees as well.
That's why we brought the dandelions
to feed the honey.
Early food crop for the honeybees.
Exactly. Never know.
Yeah.
Until you do. And now we fuck the bees.
Well,
you know.
I'm going to have to edit that extended pause there, too. But
why can't we leave awkward pauses? Let people feel it.
And the belches. Let's
You know, season four.
Release the belch cut.
Yeah. See? It's happening. Yeah. That should be the next poll.
Just one entire episode of belch.
Oh, my God. That would be a real.
Just clip them all together.
Yeah. Yes.
Disgusting.
Just like,
I love it.
We'll leave that up to Marcus and Nariba to talk about that. So, you know, it'll be.
I want everyone to know that I'm gross too.
You know?
Women can be gross.
Everyone can, right?
Everyone can, you know?
You're right.
Yes. I was just like, it is your right.
Damn right.
Yes.
Reclaim your grossness.
Yes.
I do every day. I'm basically like a frat boy on my own. So like,
it's like crushing
my friend,
beer cans against your forehead.
I mean, my first apartment here in Chicago, we definitely had like camping chairs as like a form of furniture for a while. Real. We only got a couch because my roommate and best friend had a nervous breakdown about not having a couch before 25. And so I spent 2 weeks before her birthday trying to find us a couch.
What's the bed frame situation like?
You know what?
Mattress on the floor is life?
Oh, I did that up until
I'm nailing these long pauses.
Yeah. It's great. I did that up until 26. Definitely a mattress on the floor person until I was 26. And then I got like one on Amazon.
Yeah.
And that changed my life. I was like, oh my God. But I prefer my mattress on the floor because I have cats and like I don't want anything they can get underneath because then I can't get them out. But I am going to have a bed frame like a normal person.
Someday.
Thank you, my brother and my sister, for buying it.
Hey man, that's just a silly rule. You don't need a bed frame.
I know, but it makes me feel like a grown-up, and there's a lot of things in my life where I don't feel like a grown-up, so I'll take it where I can.
That's fair.
I'm also looking at one with a headboard now, but I'm Googling to see if I need that.
Getting wild.
Yeah,
I know. Never had one. Kind of like, want one.
Get the walker ready.
There is. Yeah. That's a rabbit hole right there.
I was just like, right. No abyss for me there. Okay?
No noodling.
No. So let me see, because I want to talk about how the outdoor experience, like the access to like wilderness and things like that. Again, just go back to socioeconomic class, and especially if you're from an urban environment, you know, outdoor shit seems so distant. We're very fortunate here in Chicago to where, yes, you have access to the Great Lakes and so on and so forth, but there is still so much pressure in being in an urban environment while trying to enjoy the outdoors. And there's something inherently peaceful of removing yourself from that urban environment to go out to where like nature is thriving. And how do we, like, how do we figure out ways to, you know, just promote equity like with that? Because it sounds great to be like, hey, like, you know, you can go out to, I wouldn't even know like the closest place. But you can go like 30 minutes outside the city and like, you know, you can forage and it'll be absolutely fantastic. And when this episode drops, we will have an experience together that we're certainly going to touch upon by the time that this wraps up. But I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts on bridging that class gap in wilderness accessibility, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that is pretty multifaceted too, because I mean, unfortunately, I think in the last few years, people have valued their time more, you know, since we all got a really good look at what time is. What time was it? Yeah, exactly. So the unfortunate portion is that for a long time, foraging and things like that were like a lower class thing, you know, because you're foraging for your food. You were, you know, if you're from the lower caste of society, you're trying to put dinner on the table. And unfortunately, our current economic model keeps us in the restaurants, in the workplace.
Yep.
So you don't have that extra time. And now it's more of like a upper middle class, upper class thing.
Leisurely.
You have this leisure.
It's a luxury.
And
that's what I was getting to. Like, foraging sounds like luxurious thing.
This goes back to that same fucking paper that I wrote about. So, like, camping was a thing that I talked about, where in America, the poorest of white people have access to camping. Whereas, like, urban areas, it's only being used as a tool to, like, get underprivileged kids out into nature to give them a break from their reality, and then they can't access it afterwards. And it's like, how will you give people tools that they can't use, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I think with foraging, especially like here, I think it's something that people could have more access to because there's like metras here, you know? Sure. Like you can try to like plan something along the metra, so that you are able to get out into places that have these different things that you're looking for, and you get to experience that. Safety-wise, that's my thing, is like, how do you know where you can and cannot go? Like, you know, trespassing things. Like, I think that for me, it's more of a safety and security in foraging.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I want to make sure that I'm not wandering. Like, for example, morels around the Starved Rock area, they provide a lot of the morels that the restaurant industry is using here in Chicago. And like, those people will shoot you with a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, how can we be as safe as possible while accessing this lost tool?
That's a good point.
You know?
No, absolutely. And that is something that I, you know, it's still a struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to bridging the gap of like, you know, I think it's important to have more black outdoors creators. You know, there's black people outside, the BP Instagram creator, BPO. They're a great account. They're a great Chicago couple.
I love them.
They hilarious. Fucking rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a joy.
And they just did it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, but it's. I'm sure it's difficult for someone to take that leap when there isn't that sort of infrastructure in social media like there is for white people already. The traveling and all that stuff, you know, it's all the outdoor stuff, the world travel accounts and the camping, the luxury camping, all that stuff. I totally agree. And it's the freaking struggle. And it does have a lot to do with safety, because black people have been able to be legally murdered whenever you're caught outside in these natural areas. Mm-hmm. And up until relatively recently, it was illegal for black people to be in those areas.
Yeah.
So there is a absolute history and honestly probably generational trauma about experiencing natural environments and going hiking and stuff like that, just because it has been so societally reinforced that it's only for certain people. And I think now that is starting to change a little bit. Obviously, you know, there's more Black creators than ever doing things outside. And hopefully that brings with it, you know, the change, you know, especially
a chance for change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And especially when it comes to like foraging laws and stuff like that, a lot of people are asking their own the questions like, why is this illegal?
Yeah.
And there's only a couple answers for that.
And not many of them are very good.
And yeah, none of them are really good the more you think about it. So.
But I think in order to like to progress that movement, I think you have to lean on each other. You know, groups. Mm-hmm. Power in numbers.
Yeah.
So I mean start a group in your neighborhood, you know, make a page on Facebook or whatever social media you have. Band together.
I
just see a whole bunch of Black people going down to Star Rock looking for morels and just like fucking it up. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome.
Yo is always trying to get me to go camping and do outdoorsy things. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm also from a third world country and I came to America to avoid nature. And now I'm out. And like, after going to school in Vermont and like, really learning to like love seeing and being around, I feel like I didn't take advantage of it while I was there, and then I moved to Chicago and I was like, oh shit, nature was fucking everywhere. And now I have to like drive out to, first of all, the first time I went like into southern Illinois, we were driving to like my friend's brother's wedding, I think in like Arkansas. And we stopped at a Culver's.
Helena?
And I thought,
Helena, Arkansas?
No,
okay,
Grubbs.
I was like, keep it.
Grubbs.
Okay, Grubbs, Arkansas?
Yeah, don't make fun of it. That's where Crystal's from.
I'm not making fun of
it. Okay, I made fun of it. I was like, when we drove in and it was like, Grubbs, the population was under 350 people, I started laughing.
That's probably total too, like all of time.
I was like,
I
was like, I am from a Caribbean island and somehow I ended up in this town.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Like fucking frogs were kamikazing themselves into the side of the car as we're driving, and I'm like, where are we? Anyway,
Arkansas.
We stopped at a Culver's and I got out. And we walked into, and everyone had like an accent. And I looked at my girlfriend at the time and I was like, where are we? And she was like, we're still in Illinois. I was like, oh shit.
It's a long ass state.
Yes. Like I just Chicago, you know, I forget that it's inside of Illinois.
Yeah. When when my grandmother and, you know, subsequently my grandfather passed away in Helena, Arkansas, I drove from here to Helena, which, my God, the amount of time I spent in this state.
Yeah.
I was like,
half of it.
Yeah, I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Too long.
And so we ended up like pulling over somewhere in like, you know, southern Illinois. And it was myself and my cousin Marcus, and my cousin Marcus is significantly darker than I am. Mm. And the gas station clerk was like, where are y'all from? It's like, oh, you know, just Chicago, we're passing through. She's like, you need to be careful out here. And I was like, okay. And then I had like that small thing. I was just like, well, where am I?
This
and
is
then
the
I was
purge.
Like, I was like, and we're still in Illinois. Yep. I was just like, I'm like, I grew up knowing things like that, like in Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
And then also, I think that was like a 17-hour drive. It took forever.
Gosh.
And I thought that I was going crazy because we ended up crossing the Mississippi like three times. And I was like, what is happening? I was like, we're going over another goddamn bridge over the same damn river. And I was like, what mistake did I make? And ultimately, when we were driving back after my grandfather passed away, we're in some back road in Arkansas, end up getting pulled over by, like, you know, a very, like, Dudley Do-Right police officer who wanted to know everything about us when, like, we ended up being, I think, like, 12 miles over the speed limit. Like, just give us the ticket and, like, you know, we'll go back to where we're coming from. But it was those very, very recent incidences, mm-hmm. incidents that just reminded me of, like, the further you put yourself out there, the more uncomfortable it can be without appropriate support.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
I was like, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Like, I've been from Chicago, like, my entire life. But also, I was just like, yeah, it's Illinois. It's fine. Apparently, not always.
Fine.
not always. And then Arkansas, I was just like, I spent my, like, childhood growing up there. I was like, oh, it's entirely fine. But then also, my grandparents are buried in a black cemetery.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Because...
That still exists.
What?
That's a thing. Yeah.
I didn't know about that until right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, America be wildin'. Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah. It's wild.
Facts.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? And that's a conversation for another time. But just remembering driving up to, like, you know, this beautiful, lush cemetery, and then we're driving alongside it. And you just keep going, and there's, like, all this wilderness, and then, like, the road gets rough, and then, you know, I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes all the way back to, you know, this is supposed to be accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
But it is prioritized for not for everyone. Like, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And as we're approaching time, I wanted to ask you, what do you think is something really important that the industry should know about foraging?
This is a great question.
Yes.
Thank you.
So it can be a lot to unpack, but I think just trying to be short and sweet is out there, and these ingredients are available to us, but just because they're out there now doesn't mean that they'll be there forever. So you should treat them as a precious thing and a treat rather than something that you're entitled to.
Yes.
So,
which is
respect the ingredient.
Yeah, which is why I, like, earlier brought up, like, the ramps thing,
yeah.
where in the last couple of years I became more aware of the fact that, like, you shouldn't pull them up by the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, like, leave something there to be there again. So I've started like focusing more on clipping the leaves instead of just ripping up the entire plant. But I will occasionally, if it's like, if I could see the bulb a little bit, I'm like, okay, you're mine. Cause, like, if it rains, it's gonna wash away and I could just, like, eat it.
Sure.
So I, like, try to be more mindful of how I'm collecting things instead of, like, hoarding it for myself. Just like, all right, like, if I know I'm not going to use all of it, then why will I take all of it?
Sure.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as the industry is concerned, it's I agree with Steve. Absolutely. That's a really important point, that it's about maintaining it forever. You know, it's like, when it comes to ramps and stuff, you know, that's also, you know, harvesting the whole plant is a very contentious issue. And, you know, here in the Midwest.
Chicago is named after ramp.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a derivative of the word Chicago,
which
is skunk onion, or probably, you know, whatever their word for the leek is. And harvesting the whole plant, when it comes to the populations we have in Chicago, it's not necessarily that bad, but you still want to be, like you said, there's mindful harvest involved. I don't support pick shaming at all, but you definitely want to make sure that you're not harming the plant, that you're not harming the populations. A lot of the times, whenever you remove one plant from a very crowded area, you're actually helping the rest of them get bigger and more full. And So when it comes to the industry and foraging, there's opportunity out there for everybody to find new flavors and everything, and it's it does seem like an abundance, and it can be fun and exciting, but yes, definitely be conservative as far as how much we're pulling out. You know, this doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
But I also want to mention that as far as morels are concerned in the Chicago area, you guys mentioned a couple times that you go all the way, that like you don't have to go all the way down to Starved Rock.
I have never gone to Starved Rock to get morels. Sure. I just know that
morels can be found in Cook County. They can be found in the neighboring counties as well. And definitely take some friends out with you. Practice, you know, safety. And when it comes to, you know, someone that might attract a little bit more attention than other people at forest preserves or other natural areas, be as discreet as possible. Don't be carrying around clear plastic bags, but practice a little discretion. And don't be shady about it, but, you know, have a backpack or two.
Just be mindful.
Be mindful.
So I feel like you both painted a really clear picture between foraging and agriculture with your last response.
Yeah.
That's like, I just have to say that, because with how you both gave your independent insight, it just like made sense about how this is something that is a treat and should be cared for because you want to ensure that it's sustainable. Agriculture is a different side of that.
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite. It's like, we have this.
Yeah.
How can we make it bigger?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And you could feed
it. How can we continue to emulate this and grow it? Yeah.
Yeah. So. And wild plants can be a source of, you know, abundance too. You know, I think our current diet practices and the agriculture is a huge part of that. You know, we make way more than we need. If we really did get what everybody needed, I guess need is kind of a pretty hazy word, but I feel like what is out there for us already is enough and is more than enough. Right. And we don't have to have these harmful practices of absolutely depleting the earth and the soil. We can have regenerate, you know, living harmoniously with nature. I guess that's kind of a utopian idea, but it's like, how did we get here? You know, and it wasn't from abusing the earth this whole time. At some point, we worked together with it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well,
meh.
Nariba, do you have any additional questions as we wrap up?
I could just be weird. Can I be weird?
Do it.
Sure. All right.
Get weird.
Okay. So, if you could bring home any one animal from when you're out in the wilderness foraging and have it as a pet, what would it be?
An ermine.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
For sure. What?
You answered that so fast.
Yeah. Well, I already know.
Wait, what was...
You don't have a wild animal that you would want to bring home?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I had that thing loaded, ready to go.
What was he? Yeah. What was the answer?
Ermine.
A what?
An ermine. So they're like almost like a ferret. Like a wild weasel.
Mm-hmm.
Hunted for their fur.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Super fucking cute.
Okay.
They turn white in the winter.
Yes.
Okay.
That part I do know.
All right.
I'd be watching David Attenborough talk about anything.
With that.
I love it. What about you?
I just don't know, man. A raccoon, I guess.
I don't have something cool like
ermine. Yeah. I just don't.
I don't know. I'll keep it like local, which is everywhere I fucking go, especially at this time of year. There are rabbits everywhere. No one told me about the rabbits in Chicago, and it just happened, you know? And recently I was like walking to my job, and it's like in the Lincoln Square area. And this rabbit didn't even fucking flinch. I was like ready to pick it up and it didn't move. And then I got scared and I kept going.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I mean, that would be... for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what's yours then? Oh, Justin.
A snake.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'm not, like... like, I'm not outside like that. Like, I'm just... I'm not, and I...
Come on, make me look better and just say a cat or something.
You know, I would say a fox?
Oh,
nice.
That's a good one.
That's better than what I had, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Foxes fox scream like babies are being murdered.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I wasn't going that direction.
So we're passing around this American persimmon jam that I've made from persimmons that I collected last year. So there's an interesting bit of astringentness that's still kind of inherent in it at the end of the taste of this. So your mouth kind of dries out at the end.
It's okay. So I wasn't expecting the texture of it going into it.
A little crystallized.
But the flavor is also exactly like what you described. Yeah. It's giving caramel, brown sugar realness. It's very sweet, like a honey almost type. I like that.
The fruit,
I like this line.
The fruit still
like
warm from the sun, either off the tree if you're lucky, or on the ground right next to the tree if you're still very lucky, is just incredible.
So this is more like preserves than it is jam, I guess, because it's very heavy on the fruit.
Yeah,
It's very pulpy. Have some more.
Yeah. Yes, I will.
Yes. So,
goddamn.
So that was just made with fruit and sugar. Easy peasy. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
Well, I was just about to do the things that, you know, we do to wrap this up.
Like
but
that.
Before I do that, how was your time with us, my friends?
Wonderful. This is great.
Sublime pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Was it nice
this
and weird?
This was fun.
Oh,
you know?
It was a
it was
like,
great. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I was like, this was lovely. And
Especially these drinks.
I know,
jeez.
Right?
Oh, man. Another shout out for these.
To Cheyenne English, a.k.a. Miss _ Perfect Pour. You can find her on Instagram with what I had just mentioned. But so...
That first one, I like the first one better.
I am all about this second one.
Well, that's because you don't like coffee.
I mean, these are the facts. So
yeah, I want a bottle of each to go. I like them equally.
Out, you know,
part of her whole thing is
that's
available.
Yes,
she be making beverages to go.
Absolutely.
Word.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk about that off mic, but yes, absolutely. Yes. So, how do the people find you, my friends?
So we're on Instagram and Facebook. You can listen to our show, Wild Edible World Podcast, just about anywhere. But if you want to find us on social medias, you can find us at Wild Edible World Pod. And then personally, I do lots of free wild education, wild edible food education on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. Check me out on TikTok because I get like 10 views. I need some help.
I'm going to follow you.
Edible _ Illinois. How about you, Steve?
On TikTok?
TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, everything.
I'm not on TikTok. I'm on Instagram.
Same.
Okay.
You can find me at... My main account is Stevie, like the Pokemon Eevee. Like Stevie Cantu. I also have my podcast account, Snoop Doggy Dogwood. And
he's just way too good at creating usernames. Like, why not just make a bunch of Instagram accounts?
Which, admittedly, I'm not as active on, but I mean, whatever. You can find me.
Whatever. Yeah. Listen to him on our show. He's
exactly.
active there. That's
out pretty, here in these streets.
Absolutely.
Well, not in the streets, in the forest preserves.
Yeah. Actually,
in nature.
Out in the wild.
Yeah, we found wild edibles right across the road from here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple bushes that are planted ornamentally. They're aronia berries. Also,
right across the street.
What?
Black Forager calls them booty hole berries.
Booty hole berries!
Oh my gosh. Well,
let's take a walk over.
Yeah, I'm just like, whoa, nature surrounds us all.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the things we try to press is that even in the cityscapes, there are tons of ornamental plantings that are still useful, whether they want them to be or not.
Right.
I definitely eat like these flowers on my way into work at the Riverwalk that they had last year. Well, one, they had snapdragons, which are delightful. And then the other ones are, I don't want to say they're begonias.
Any?
No. They have like pink petals, and it's sort of like when you bite into it, it's like a juicy rose flavor. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. In my mind, I can describe it as something called pomerac or rose pear. It has that sort of like flavor profile. It's used in a lot of fine dining as a garnish and for cocktails as well. But yeah, it just like the city plants them, but they're edible and people don't know that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, the more you know.
Yeah. And I'm sure the city would not want you to know that because they'd be like, excuse me.
Then stop growing corn in Millennium Park.
Right.
Also if that. You don't want me to eat it, don't put it there.
Well, on
but
that
don't
note,
stop
yes.
growing corn Fair. In Millennium Park. Leave it.
Fair. Well,
keeping it tight.
You know, I just want to obviously thank our guest once more for joining us and educating me specifically, because this was phenomenal. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, supreme shout out to our home studio. Supreme shout out to our home studio here at Blind Barber Chicago for hosting this necessary conversation. Also, Ritual Zero Proof for their support. And again, Cheyenne English, aka Miss Perfect Pour, for the amazing beverages and stepping in for the Garnet team. Max, thank you so very much for everything that you do. Colin on the documentation side. Also, Marcus, Cortez, Alex, Rick, Jason, Travis, everyone that comes together to make this a thing and keep us pushing and, you know, just being awesome as we keep making season 3 happen. And we have a lot of amazing things coming up that I can't really talk about. But then also with my friends here, we're going to be going on a foraging trip with our friends on Outsiders. But you're going to hear about that like after the fact, because like this is dropping after the fact, but you're going to see it on social media. So yeah. Thank you so very much. That.
Thank you, too. This has been wild.
Yay.
Oh. I did it.
Very nice. Very nice. And on that note, I am Justin Arnett Graham, and you can find me on Instagram at This Is Biko.
All right. And my name is Nariba Shepherd. I just want to point out before I do the spiely spiel that this is the second time that I have done the setup for the tables in the studio.
Oh my God. Oh my
and
God.
Justin has not edited it.
Oh my God.
He did put one thing on there, but
did.
He didn't take anything away.
I did.
So,
yes.
Success.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you damn
job.
Right. I'm owning
Wonderful
that
job.
Shit.
That's great.
You can find me on Instagram at Rebaru, R-E-B-A-R-U. And just remember that foraging is something that you can do.
Yes, and you can find Nariba at her upcoming design studio, Rebaru Designs, also on Instagram.
Oh my
Just
God.
Just kidding. Peace.
Never.